The question was asked, when one's educating for the sake of education, can one exaggerate a prohibition and say, you know, it's better you don't daven than you daven this way, even though halachically that's a fallacy. So I want to begin our addression of this from the Bible. There's a story. There was a man who was commanded not to eat from a tree. You heard of him, Adam, right? And then he goes to his wife and says, don't eat and don't touch. And then we know the rest of the story, right? So there's, in Avos to Rabbi Nosson, it says one of the things we learn from this story is that you got to be careful if you're going to start expanding what's prohibited. If you're going to start saying, you know, God said don't do this and don't do that, but God didn't say both. So then you can end up losing everything. You're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So we have a directive telling us we have to be careful not to expand things. But the directive is don't expand them in the name of God. Meaning you could say, I don't want to see you doing this. I'd rather you not daven than you daven without a jacket, if we'll take that example. If the educator saw fit to say that. But to say, you know, the halacha is, you can't, that I think is not the way to go. It could be, by the way, that the educator actually used such terminology and the students didn't have that perception to notice he said it this way as opposed to that way. In their mind, he said it's better this than that. Meaning sometimes we hear one thing even though what was said is slightly different. So I wouldn't be so quick to take a person to task because as a student, that's obviously what you heard. I mean, you heard him say that this is what God said, but he might not have said it that way, you know. So we do have an instruction that we have to be careful how we say it. I wanted to look up the Marsha, but I won't take your time till I find it. There's another famous story. We know the story, Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and then when Bar Kamtza got so upset, he was so hurt, so he decided he's going to blemish the animal that the Romans send in. And Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas was there heading the courts in the temple, and he saw them bringing this blemished animal, and they realized that Bar Kamtza would go back and tell the Romans, you see, the Jews don't respect you, they won't bring your sacrifice. So they said, let's sacrifice the animal even though it's blemished. So he said, no, you can't do that. They'll learn the halacha's wrong. They'll think you're allowed to offer a blemished animal. So they said, then let's kill Bar Kamtza because he's going to threaten all of us. He's going to go back and tell them that we're rebelling and we'll all die. So then he said, no, 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 they're going to walk away thinking the halacha is if you blemish an animal, you get the death penalty. So if I'm not mistaken, it's the Marsha over there that says, we learn here a very remarkable concept that they viewed it as a criminal, a corporal offense to misguide people into thinking that you would get the death penalty for something which was really prohibited. Meaning it is prohibited to blemish the animal. They didn't want you to think you get the death penalty for it. So that they gave that such great halachic weight. Don't misguide people into thinking that something is deserving of the death penalty. If you'd ask me, I'd have said, big deal. So people think you get the death penalty for it. Okay. No. You see, the rabbis were very, very concerned that you can't do that. You can't make the masses think that something is more stringent than it really is. So we do have this concept in halacha. And yet, we have a... What? Or not for that reason, for a slightly different reason. It says that we have to analyze that sugya. It says because of his humility. So we have to understand what they call it humility, and yet they blame him for it. So that needs understanding. If you want, we have classes online. We did do this more than once. Going back to this concept, I don't think it's fair to leave it without mentioning one more point. Sometimes as an educator, you're going to run into problems if you go into all the details and tell people, you know, this is permitted and that's permitted, because they're going to take it too far. And you can't ignore your responsibility to have the foresight to realize what mistakes would happen. Before I do a bris, parents often ask me, can I give the child Akamol? And I usually say, I think giving them Akamol is more dangerous than the circumcision. Why is it more dangerous? Because very often people are very uptight before a bris, and very often they have other kids who are nagging at them, or they themselves haven't slept normally because it's a new baby. And then you're going to come and measure the Akamol you give the baby. Now, when you give a baby medicines, it's very concentrated. It's a few drops. And sometimes a parent isn't focused, and instead of reading three drops, they could read three spoonfuls and kill the baby. I mean, that's how potent the medication, the Akamol is for children. And these things have happened. So some of our responsibility as an educator is sometimes not to give a person the breadth of understanding how far he can be lenient, because either his scenario or his educational level is such that he's not going to handle it correctly. He's going to misunderstand and misapply it. So there is an element of responsibility on an educator to have the foresight of where things will be taken and misapplied. And that's why sometimes as an educator, you cannot provide all the leniencies that halacha provides, and it would be really an error to provide that. So that's why, although we said you can't say in the name of God that something's prohibited if it isn't, at the same time, there are areas where you have a certain responsibility to guide people to the right place. And that's there is a balancing factor here.
It's completely subjective so long as it's within that.
You have to be honest, and at the same time, you also have to educate. And you have to understand where the other party's coming from. And I could give examples of that. I think the examples are rampant, where a person once came and asked me, is something biblically prohibited? I said, no. He walked out of class and said, Rabbi Frankenthal said it's permissible to do this and that. I said, I didn't say that. You know, you asked me, is it biblically prohibited? It's not biblically prohibited. It's rabbinically prohibited. He didn't ask me, is it prohibited? He asked, is it biblically prohibited? I said, no. Later on, I hear I'm being quoted as saying it's permitted. That's not what I said. Okay, I should have had the foresight to ask him, what are you asking? Sometimes we don't phrase the question right, and then we think we got our answer. So that's why it's a...
as time goes on, tend to get much more tightly wound.
I think we have to understand them before we judge them and explain them. That's